start the party in your ear holes there. It might be a good idea. It might be a good idea. No good. Out. Darren Carter, party starter. Pocket Party Podcast in your ear holes. Hurry up.
Love you, buddy. Thanks for being on.
All right.
Dude, it's like 1 a.m. I hope your neighbors, I hope your neighbors are used to this.
I got a drum set, man. They've heard worse. I don't like their dog.
Anything you want to say in closing?
Yeah, I don't like their dog. That was my closer.
Come back, will you?
Yeah.
It's my house.
Of course I will.
Exactly. I'm inviting him back and I'm in his home. He's like, get the hell out of here. Let's go get some hash browns.
All right, good.
This is Morgan Freeman, and you are listening to one of the most important podcasts ever made in the history of podcasting, the Pocket Party Podcast with my good friend, Darren Carter.
Impressions?
Huh?
Do you do any impressions?
Do I? Of course.
What do you do?
I could do some. Oh, yes, Bee Gees. Oh, you can't handle, by the way, I use my walk and my worms, man. Don't try to talk. Using my walk. I've been kicked around since I was born. And Tom, and it's okay. You might look the other way. You might try the other stand. Women's rights up at the back. When you say
women's rights,
stand laugh, stand laugh. When you say brother, brother, mother,
okay, people are turning out, dude. All right, let's give us a little melodica, and then we're gonna get into the podcast.
Sure. Right.
Thank you, Austin. Oh, I like that.
You're welcome.
How are you? It's me, Arnold. And you're listening to the Pocket Party Podcast with my workout buddy, Darren Carter. Oh, he likes to work out at the gym and pump the muscles. It's fantastic. He's a girly man. Here he is. Listen to it now.
And we're back. I want to thank everybody for the outpouring of love and messages I got from last week's episode. And I want to thank you guys for once again tuning in to the Darren Carter Pocket Party Podcast. Want to do me a huge favor? Go to darrencarter.com/donate and help the show. Give us a little commission. It'll help us out and it'll keep the show coming to you every single week. Also, go to iTunes and give 5 stars and a review. If you got the time, if you got like a minute, go to iTunes and give it 5 stars. If you got a minute and 35 seconds, give it a review, and it's so easy to do. And by the way, tell a friend about the podcast. Say, hey, check out this cool podcast. It's inspirational, motivational, it's fun. And hopefully he has, you know, I want to say, and from what I've heard, good conversations with people that are interesting and adding light to the world, adding light to your life. And my goal, I just want to be in people's top 20. Can I just be in your top 20 keep me in the rotation. You know, you got Joe Rogan, Tim Ferriss, Jocko Willink. You got the Serial podcast. You got science podcasts. Sometimes as much as you love your favorite podcast, you want to take a little break, put something else in, boom, Pocket Party Podcast right here, right now. Okay, I want to give a shout out right now on iTunes. By the way, whenever you leave a review on iTunes, plug your social media and I'll gladly read it on the podcast. Right now, this person did not do it, but I will read their review. It's really good. By RBJ0407. And they write, "I like my podcast like I like my," and that's reference to my stand-up. All right. DC is becoming more, this is what he says about me, DC is becoming one of the best in the podcasting biz. I learned of him a while ago while listening to The Church of What's Happening Now with Joey Diaz. Now a couple of years back, and I've been a fan ever since. Love the comedy and love the positive messages of his podcast. The guy has even convinced me to do 25 push-ups a day. Good for you. Good for you, man. Keep the laughs coming, homie, and remember, be careful. I love it. I just got back from Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, and it is a trip to go to another country. And in fact, my plane was delayed by 4.5 hours, so I was supposed to leave out of Burbank. I get to Burbank. They were like, "So are you leaving out of LAX? So we went over to LAX, and I sat around for about 3 or 4 hours, and then I flew not from Phoenix to Edmonton, but to Vancouver. So I entered the other country. Here's how tired I was, because I literally was planning on sleeping all the way there. But then with the flight delay and then flying to a new country and flying to a new destination, when I landed, I'm thinking, am I in Vancouver, Washington, or Vancouver, Canada? I left America. As I'm exiting the plane, realizing I had to go to customs, and I did that, and that was pretty easy. But I went straight. Here's something that was a challenge. I went straight from the airport right to the stage, like no hotel, no getting ready, no. So as long as I've been doing this, you gotta, you know, as they told me in the beginning, expect the unexpected. You never know what to expect. So luckily, with that delay, I thought, you know, when I first got to LAX, I thought there may be a chance I might not go to the hotel first. So I put on my quote show clothes for the most part and was like, let me just get ready. And then I think I switched shoes real quick at the Canada airport in Edmonton, and we went straight there. I made sure I had my my trusty little flashlight with me, and I was ready to rock the show, start that party. It was funny because when I was so tired, when they go, "Where are you? What's your destination?" And I was like, I gave the full name, Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, which sounds, I'd be like, if someone goes, "Where are you going right now?" "Los Angeles, California, America." Oh my God. Yeah. So, and they got the coolest looking money. It's like loonies and toonies, and the coins, looks like a regular quarter, but then in the center, it looks like gold. That's like a $2. That's called a toonie. And, it was very cold. It was 13 degrees below zero. At one point, it got down to 18 below zero. If you go to my Instagram, check it out, Darren Carter, official Darren Carter. You'll see a picture where I'm wearing many layers, and I'm wearing this cool, almost like a fur, like coat, like fake fur coat with the hoodie. And then I have a blue parka windbreaker. And then I also put a blue bandana right across my face to keep that wind out. And then with my blue eyes, my piercing blue eyes. All you see is blue. And then me surrounded by snow. And my buddy said I look like a Arctic Crip gangbanger. Yeah, man. And here's a trick, though. If you're like in the below zero weather, wear a bandana. Do something to cover your face. That way your own hot air will come back and warm your face up. Because otherwise, your cheeks will get so cold. That area gets so cold. Like everything else, you could pretty much stay warm with gloves and stuff. But oh, and I wore long johns, like some sort of Under Armour tight long john thing. I remember seeing the boxers wear that. I'm like, oh, I should get those. So I bought that. They make a better version of the bandana. It already comes like that, where it's covered like a handkerchief, like you're going to rob a bank or something. And there's like a hole in the middle. And what that does is it lets the air go in and out, because otherwise with the bandana, with you breathing your own, like the condensation, it does get, the cloth does get wet after about 15 minutes. So, and I asked the guy when I went to the skateboarding surf shop, I asked him about that, and he goes, "Oh yeah, originally what happened, that hole," he goes, that was made for cigarette smokers back in the 70s. They'd be on the ski lifts, and then they made that so they could like smoke their cigarettes. But they're like, "Hey, wait, dual purpose. You could breathe in and out and not fog up and get your thing all wet." I'm like, "Oh, that's interesting." So I guess that's a plus side of the cigarette smokers. They figured something out for us. What else can I tell you? Oh, you know what? They're so nice in Canada. Now, this didn't happen this time, but the previous time I was reminded, you know, one of the one of the cooks at the comedy club, he goes, "I want to buy your CD." And I go, "Oh, no, I just take it." And he goes, "No, I really," he goes, "I want to support the arts. I want you to," he goes, "I want to pay you for it." So he bought my CD. By the way, I have 4 CDs available. Listen, if you want to help me out, go to iTunes, Amazon. They're out there, all 4 of them. Darren Carter, That Ginger's Crazy, Shady Side, Stay at Home Stripper, The Party Continues. And anyway, so he bought my CD and he went home, listened to it, burned it, and then took some scotch tape and sealed it back up and returned it to me. And I go, "What is this?" He goes, "No, I want you to make more money." He goes, I have it at home now, but I want you to be able to sell this and feed your children. And I'm like, that's pretty Canadian, man. I go, "Thank you so much. That was really good." Oh, I had some maple syrup, so good. And I don't know if it's just because you're in Canada and it's like, you know, your mind is going there, like, "Oh, this is real," but it was really good. And then at the airport, I bought some maple syrup almonds or whatever. So good. I bought like 3 bags. Of course, I had 2 at the airport, and then I brought one home to my wife, and she's like, "Eh, it's too late to eat." And I'm like, "Can I have it then?" She's like, "Go for it." That's what wives are for. Anyways, you guys, we're going to get into this podcast. I wanted to have a fun, uplifting podcast. A lot of ideas are discussed, a lot of crazy questions. We play a fun game. It's just a great conversation. This is Flip Schultz. He's written for Dana Carvey. He's written for Jamie Kennedy. He goes on tour. He's been a comic for well over 2 decades, many TV appearances. And this is a good, fun listen. And let's have some fun with this one, you guys. Once again, DarrenCarter.com/donate, DarrenCarter.com/Amazon. If you use that Amazon link, it will help out the show as well. And also, a lot of times, if you go to DarrenCarter.com/Amazon or donate or whatever, just bookmark that. Oh, you know, there's another thing. If you've heard of Cameo, go to the Cameo app and check it out. I'm on there. A lot of other people like Michael Rapaport are on there. And it's a pretty fun app to reach out to entertainers and celebrities. And they're basically for hire. And they'll give messages and videos to either yourself or a loved one. You know, there's a lot of fun with that. So go to Cameo. Check that out. The Cameo app. Anyways, let's get into the podcast. You guys are awesome. And let's start that party in your ear holes.
Boo doo, boo doo 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 doo, boo doo, boo boo doo 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 doo, ba 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 ba.
What's that from? Night Court.
Night Court.
Night Court.
Night Court, man. Dude, Harry Anderson, God bless him.
I know. So, and we're back. Guys, I'm with very special guest, Flip Schultz. He's telling me how he brought back his bass, and he's been tinkering around with his bass guitar.
Well, this isn't going to sound dirty. I've been playing with my bass for years. My brother's an amazing musician. He's a guidance counselor by trade, but an amazing musician. And I've always liked the guitar. I took lessons when I was a kid, but didn't stick with it. And then my brother gave me a bass one day, just put a bass in my hand and said, "Just do this, do, 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 do." And I was doing that, and then he was playing along, and I'm like, "Oh, I get it. Okay, basses, it's like drums and guitars kind of mixed together. You're keeping the beat, but you can, you know, you have a little fun with it."
Is the Barney Miller theme song, is that with a bass?
I don't remember Barney Miller theme song.
My friend showed me how you basically just go down the neck of the guitar, and you go, boom, 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 boom. So you start.
Makes sense, yeah.
You start there and you just literally go to each fret. Boom, 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 boom. And then you go and you work your way back.
That is a lazy theme song. That is some guy just like, I don't know, boom, 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 where's my check? That's boring.
What about, you got to try Queen, you know, Another One Bites the Dust.
I could do that. Because the beginning of Under Pressure is very easy. It's just the 11th fret. It's playing the, it's holding the 11th fret and playing the A string. No, I'm sorry, the D string, then the A string. So it's ding, 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 ding. That's all. That's just the beginning, and
stop,
then it gets a little
collaborate
more.
And listen,
Ice is back. I actually wrote a parody of that in high school called Rice, Rice, Krispies.
Rice, Rice.
All right, snap, Krispies. Crackle, pop, and listen. Rice is here, and nothing is missing. Yeah. It was so late 90s.
Both of us are Weird Al Yankovic fans, so it's like there's something about a kid thinks. I mean, listen, I've heard a certain parody of, my son says he didn't come up with this, he saw it somewhere, but that, bum, 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 another one bites my nuts, bum, bum, but it's like, once you hear that, there's like, you want to just, you know what I mean, you can't help but hear that after a while. It's
yeah, like, another one bites my nuts.
And another one.
See, actually, when I was a kid, I wanted to, every parody that Weird Al every song Weird Al wrote a parody to, I tried to do my own version.
You're like, what would I come up with?
So he, you know, there was Another One Bites the Dust. He did Another One Rides the Bus, which is brilliant. I did Another One Bites the Crust, just about waiting in line for pizza.
Did you ever one-up him? Did you ever be like, you know what? Mine's up there, man.
No. When I was a kid, I mean, they were all stupid ones. Yeah. What was another one? Like, he did a parody of Mickey about Ricky.
Oh,
and I
Mickey,
Love Lucy.
You're so fine. You're so fine. You blow my mind. Hey Mickey.
And then it was Ricky.
Oh, Ricky.
Yeah. But
Lucy, I'm home.
Exactly. I did Hickey.
Oh, that's mine.
Was that yours? Yeah. Sorry.
We're recording this in my car.
When Darren invited me into his car, I'm like, well, this feels vaguely familiar from when I was a Boy Scout, but he really did have recording equipment here.
Come to my car and put this mic in your
mouth.
Come
here. I want you to hold something really long and hard and just talk into it.
Dude, you know what, man? We were talking. So we met for coffee earlier. And I go, dude, let's go record this in the podcast. We're having a great conversation. And in the coffee shop is too loud. There's music playing in the background. But he was telling me a story. And I go, dude, that reminds me of Kenny Rogers, Coward of the County. Which if you guys are not familiar with Coward of the County, it's great, dude. It's this great song written by, I don't know if it's written by, but it was sung by Kenny Rogers. And
Kenny Rogers.
In the song, he talks about this guy that's like, you know, he was picked on his whole life. And like his dad was like, you know, don't fight. And the reason he was picked on because his father said, don't fight. It don't, you know, promise me, son, not to do the things I've done. Walk away from trouble when you can. It don't mean you're weak if you turn the other cheek. Son, you don't have to fight to be a man. And so like in the song, these kids, and they even made a movie out of it too. People would pick on him. They'd be like, oh, look, here comes old Yeller. You know, like he's got a yellow streak. Oh, he's a wimp. He's a, you know, whatever. But in the song, from the way I remember it, he goes to this bar. These three, the Gatlin boys, that's what they were called. They called the Gatlin boys. And they were about to, you know, beat up and rape his girlfriend, Becky. And then they go, oh, look, old Yeller's here to save you, whatever, save you. And then he turns around and he walks out. And they're like, ah, ha, ha. They're all laughing. And then the song, it goes, but you could have heard a pin drop when Tommy stopped and locked the door. And then they said all this rage from years of being made fun of and picked on just welled up inside of him. And then, of course, in the song, he kicks everyone's ass. And it's a great song, great story. You guys got to look it up. But I was talking to Flip, and I go, dude, you don't know that song? You know, it's a great country song. It's a classic country song.
And then I'm like, I'm Jewish. Unless it's followed by the word club, I've never heard it. Country club.
And I didn't get it for. I go, what do you mean? You go, country? Unless the word country is followed by the word. I'm from the country club. Oh, dude, that was funny. This guy, by the way, if you guys check out Flip Schultz, check out anything he's put, you know, like go to his shows. This guy is naturally funny. Like, he comes out with the zingers. I'm like, dude, we got to go.
I'm fucking brilliant.
That's what I was like. Okay, I go, dude, we got to go do a podcast. Let's just do it. How many albums do you have?
I have put out 8 albums. 9 if you count the one by Skippy Green. Well, I have an alter ego character, and I put out an album as this character, which is all material completely different from my regular act. So
dude,
9,
and
let's just say 9.
And then he'll a lot of times, just to be, is the word benevolent? I don't know. Like he's just a good guy. Like he's natural at it. He'll watch a comic set. Like he saw me headline this weekend and was like, dude, here's a couple of tags, some ideas. And I got to tell you, man, like I'm almost gonna say like 100% of the time, I'll at least say 90% of the times you give me something, it works.
Oh, thanks,
like,
man.
To a high level. And it's funny. Well, you know what it's just is? A line here, a line there, but it works, though.
Well, you know what it is? It's like, for me, if I watch a comic that A, I respect, and B, I think is funny, I don't mind, you know, watching the set anyway. So if a line comes to me, I'll just write it down. That's how I got in with Dana Carvey. That's how I got in with Jamie Kennedy. Pablo Francisco, just watching these guys, and I'm like, these guys are really funny. And hey, you know what might be, you know, just a little punch to that is if you do this or da da da. And sometimes they work, sometimes they don't. But it's not that I do it to be benevolent. It's because it's what comics do. It's what we should do. Just
it works though.
Support
like,
each other.
You know, like other people give me like, hey, try this, try that, and usually it's like it just doesn't. Not that it's not funny. It just isn't. It wouldn't work for me. It would, right, or maybe it isn't funny. But you. It's like a little line. Like I was doing this whole thing. Like one time I did I used to do this bit about how I had like a Suzuki 185 motorcycle, which is barely legal for the freeway. Like you shouldn't take it on there, even though you can. It's like it shakes and wobbles. And so then I wrote this bit basically comparing it to a Harley Davidson. And I would go back and forth where I'd be like, you know, live to ride, ride to live. And then on the moped, you're like, live to hide, hide to live. And I'd go back and forth, tattoos and leather, stickers and a sweater. And then Flip gave me a great line. Do you remember what you said?
Was it the Harley?
Yeah, you go, Harley. And then the other one's like, hardly.
Yeah.
Just a little line like that, hardly, hardly. And then like this weekend, I did this bit about when I beatbox like a higher pitch and a faster tempo, it's comical when I'm like, it's like the laughs are already coming out. But then when I slow it down, it goes from comical to sexy. Then I slow it down, I go,
oh yeah,
oh yeah. And I'm like, you know, hip gyrating and being, moving my roll of my chest, looking all sexy, got the flashlight out, right? And so Flip goes, why don't, right there you could go, it goes from comical to sexy. It goes from ha-ha to hey-hey. Just a little line like that. Boom, it works. I've been working out this bit playing hide-and-seek with Austin, and I say, when you're over 40 and you lay down, no, I'm sorry, when you're over 40 and you're playing hide-and-seek, you got to put yourself in an uncomfortable position to hide. And now your bones start to crack for no reason. You know, after about 2 minutes, your bones are like, you have this uncontrollable urge to clear your throat. You know, Austin's like, I hear you, but I don't see you. You know, and I have a cold right now, not a cold, but I have a little bit of laryngitis. So my voice is like not there, but I really wanted to do this podcast with you. But, and then I said, yeah. And then if you find a place that's too comfortable to hide, you fall asleep, which gets a good laugh. And then Flip goes, try something like this. And then, and we're still working on it, but I know it's a good line where, if it's too comfortable, you pass out. And now you're playing hide and sleep. Which I know, there's something in there. And if it's not that, yeah.
See, you know, it's fun. It's funny. It's I started working cruise ships like 5 years ago. And it's a fun gig. It's a different gig. But, you know, on the ships, it's not that I'm cheesier, but I'm more, the sillier stuff kind of works better, especially like on like the all ages show. Yeah, the wordplay. And I'm just, lately I've just been so punny.
Yeah.
Like puns have just been just spewing out.
It probably gets a lot of applause though, like especially for like if you were to take those sets.
If I riff a pun in the moment, it's fun and people are like, wow, that's really good. But like I do this whole bit now where I talk about, I say like I'm silly, I love puns, and I say like this is true. I used to write on that game show, Funny You Should Ask, and they love puns. So I was in heaven, and I go, this is my favorite one I ever wrote. And I go, just for context, in the Jewish religion, a moil is someone who performs circumcisions. So the joke I wrote is, a moil in New York City was arrested for performing unlicensed circumcisions on adult men. And then the joke is, silly rabbi, snips are for kids. And it's so stupid.
Yeah.
It's so stupid, but it gets this great, wonderful little groan laugh.
Silly rabbit, tricks are for kids. And then you said silly.
Silly rabbi, snips are for kids. And then how do you get rid of a brain freeze?
How?
You get an idea that's really thought out.
Thought out.
If Kool-Aid Man was on a baseball team, he'd be the pitcher. silly, stupid, but it's so funny how I see how...
Dude, you know what you could do? Because I've always... I've thought about this. Like, this could be a bit... Like, you could be like... Like, you could call, like, these are jokes that make you want to punch me. and then, like... Oh, you know what? Can you give me some? And then maybe I'll use it for, like, the teaser for the podcast. Can you think of, like, a bunch in a row that can fill up, like, 40 seconds to a minute?
What, puns?
Yeah.
Well, I just gave you those. So are you gonna splice it up now?
I'll splice it up, yeah.
All right, so here, this is the rest of the bit that I do on the ship. I go, so I was in the I was at the seafood buffet the other night, and I was standing behind this guy at the shrimp cocktail station, and this guy's just piling shrimp, just piling it and piling it on his plate, and I couldn't resist. I lean in, I go, come on, dude, don't be shellfish. And then he didn't miss a beat. He looks at me and goes, man, I'm doing this for the halibut. And I said, well, now we got to hang out because you're my best friend. And then I went to they have a crepe station where you can get like dessert and get crepes. And I love crepes. And I filled up, I got a Nutella crepe and I was walking back to my table and I wasn't looking, I wasn't watching where I was putting the plate. I sat down and the plate slipped and it fell in my lap. I literally crepe my pants. Is that 40 seconds? Is that enough for a teaser for this episode? I crepe my pants, Darren.
We're digging deep with Flip Schultz.
Man, he is full of crepe.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's just weird. Not weird, it's interesting.
Wait, when I say we're digging deep, it reminded me of that story. Can you tell them real quick? I love this one, Star Search. Do you remember Star Search?
Oh, I remember
that. You know where I'm going with this?
You know,
with the bios behind the scenes? Because now every contest, every television contest has like the sad story or the behind the scenes. Like what's your story? And,
right.
And they all have a thing. And then,
yeah.
So they, I remember
They
interviewed like.
Yeah, Star Search.
Can you tell us that story?
Yeah, I'll tell you the story.
Like both this of you and Lonnie Love, right?
This was 2002. CBS had brought back Star Search. Arsenio Hall was hosting it. It was Star Search, and I was chosen to be one of the comedians on the, I think I was on the third episode, and I went against a then unknown up and coming Lonnie Love,
who now is her own television show, is super successful
and huge successful. I'm one of those guys. I was there.
I lost by one star.
No, I lost by many stars. there's a couple of fun cautionary tales in this one. So the one that you're speaking of is, yeah, they taped us before our interviews. And actually, what they initially did was they sent this crew down to South Florida, and they interviewed my parents. They interviewed my the guy who owned the comedy club I started at. They interviewed me. They had all these pictures of me as a kid, and then we did all these bits and yada yada. And I thought they were gonna edit it into this like, you know, intro package that they were gonna show before my
future comedy star.
Yeah,
Flip
and
Schultz.
Just like he started here, and
humble beginnings.
Exactly. And what they ended up doing with everybody is just we'll just interview them and splice it up. So I went up against Lonnie. Now Lonnie Love. I mean, you know, she's very successful for a reason, and she had a very, you know, I don't want to say tumultuous, but, you know, a tough upbringing. She grew up, I think it was in Chicago, and, you know, so her interview before she goes up is her kind of like saying, I grew up in the projects, and I work hard. South side of Chicago, and she's crying. I'm here to let every kid know that if you have a dream, you follow it, and you can make it, and it's like, oh, my God, and then... She goes,
it's heartwarming,
and it's this great story of just persistence and, you know, overcoming adversity. My interview, and I said a lot of things about how I started comedy and how, you know, it's been my dream and my father.
It was like a bunny bouncing in slow motion.
Yeah, and just, you know, just all, not that I had, I can't compare my upbringing to Lonnie. I had a very, you know, not very... grateful and lucky I had a supportive family.
But just
family.
In contrast, it was like...
But in contrast, but again, I had like, I had to struggle in comedy and I did these awful road gigs and yada yada. But all they chose to put in my little package was my daddy used to write jokes for me and my mommy still tickles me when I'm in my 20s. That was just this little side story. Oh yeah, my mom still, she still tickles me. But that's what they... Can I curse? I won't. That's what they freaking showed in mine compared to Lon. So I'm getting sent out there. I'm like this cute little Jewish white boy who gets tickled by his mommy, and she's this sad, sassy black lady that had to cut. And it was like they totally screwed me from the beginning. And then I get up there, and I was first. So So it's I was the opener of this.
That was probably a setup, too.
Oh, I'm sure. And so then I get out
white,
there.
This corny white guy with his puns goes out. Give us a sample.
Corny, goofy white. Yeah, I don't want to relive that
just
show.
Just give us one joke you might have done from 2002.
What did I open with? I opened with, I honestly don't, because, and I had a set that I wanted to do that I had done the year before on television that I won this contest. Yeah. And they said, because there was some Jewish stuff. They go, no, the Jewish stuff's not going to play in the Midwest. Don't do that. And I listened to them. Here's a tale for comics. Go with your gut. If this is the bit you want to do and it's approved, even if they say, I don't think it's going to work, stick with your gut. That's what Steve Byrne, like, side story, Steve Byrne was on that season. And he had this whole joke about Bruce Lee turning on his girl with, like, karate fingers and and they said, don't do that. He did it anyway. He didn't win, but he stuck to his guns, and Steve Byrne is very successful. I'm not saying had I stuck with my guns, I would have won.
Yeah.
Because I get out there, and it was only, I believe, I had 80 seconds to do comedy. It's a minute, 20 seconds to do a set. Mm. And the first, realistically, 45, 50 seconds, my microphone wasn't on. So I was doubly screwed. I had the goofy white guy intro, and nobody in the studio could hear
me. And the mic comes on, you're like, another one bites a crust. Another one bites a crust.
It was a very bad experience. But here's another thing for comics who are listening to this. Because this was 2002, and when that happened, I mean, honestly, on a live broadcast to millions, literally millions of people, my microphone wasn't on. I'm not saying I would have won had I had sound. Lonnie had a strong set, and it was an unbalanced. I mean, I was a goofy white guy. She was a sassy black girl. Nothing against her as a comic. It's just it was a very mismatched pair. That aside, had I had my sound, I doubt I would have won, but it would have been fair. But anyway, for a year, I was sulking. I'm like, my career is over. This was my big shot. Oh, God, why me? Depression. Yeah. And then time goes on. And more opportunities present themselves. And you realize that it was a opportunity, but wasn't the only one. Mm-hmm. And throughout my career, I have had many more opportunities that I did, that did lead to other things. And here I am, this is 2019, so this is 16 years later. This is almost 30 years in the business. I'm still here, and I'm still doing well. You know, and there's never... One bad thing doesn't mean your career's over.
I've been following Gary Goldman on Twitter.
And Gary's got his little points, his little messages.
Hashtag Goldman tips.
Goldman tips.
And dude, those are super valuable. Good. They're very awesome, valuable. Right? And they're little refreshers, little reminders, especially for us comedians, but, you know, people that aren't, like when you read his stuff, it's like, wow, that's right. Like, he's like, comics, get that out of your mind that it's the Eminem character from 8 Mile, like, you got one chance, the moment you, because no,
you know what's so funny?
You got 60 chances. Yeah. You're going to have 80 if you just keep doing it.
I listened to that song during Star Search, like, to get myself pumped up.
Wrong.
I remember. Wrong. Well, just, yeah, but I put that in my head. Yeah. You got one moment, exactly. And maybe, I'm not sure that's the reason I was, like, thinking that was it, but.
No, fuck Eminem. He took you down.
I prefer Skittles, motherfucker.
Now we're cursing.
Skittles, man.
He got you in that mindset of, like, I own it.
Well, it's just
the moment I own it. I got in your mom's spaghetti, and, you know, yeah, you're like, forget it. There's many chances.
But that's what I realized, you know? But I was, I think I was 26 at the time.
But what do you do when the mic goes out and they won't let you start over?
It was live. Had it been pre-taped, they would have said, wait, cut, let's start over. That happened to me, actually, on another contest. I did Ed McMahon's Next Big Star the year before. In Vegas, and I came out to do my set, and there was something wrong, and this was really awkward. They had to reset, but I literally was on stage while they were moving all this, so everybody's looking at me. I'm like, I don't know what to do. But with Star Search, it was live. So in my head, I'm like, I know they're not going to stop it.
Yeah.
And I knew the people at home could hear me, because if they couldn't, then they would have stopped it.
Right.
But people in the studio couldn't. Mm-hmm. So what I did, I just went on autopilot. I just did the material as I'd rehearsed 100 times, but in my head, I'm like, nobody could hear me. Now, had I had the experience I have now as far as knowing how to be in a moment and how to, like, adjust, I would have stopped in the middle and said, can you guys hear me? Because I can't hear me, and who knows what would have happened there on live TV to do that. Mm. I mean, that's another thing. I look back and, why did I take advantage of that? What a moment to be, you know, just to show that I can adjust and I could take advantage and
be quick on my feet.
And be quick on my feet, exactly. But I was too young and too nervous. My first TV appearance live on network CBS to, you know, the entire East Coast. And I just, I won't say I froze, but
it'd be funny from now on. Just change your backstory anytime you do like these.
Yeah, just
these contests.
I grew up in the projects of Plantation, Florida, and man, my bar mitzvah was gangster, yo, dude. I did my half Torah. I blew those shit up, man. I read that Torah like it was my bitch. And people was like, yo, man.
I had to circumcise myself.
My circumcision took 20 minutes because I am hung like a motherfucker. You know what I mean? The rabbi looked at me and went, damn.
Yeah.
They needed a chainsaw to circumcise this motherfucker.
I'm so tough. I tickle my parents. You know, like, you just. I was writing a bit about that once. I stopped
about tickling
it.
My parents. No, Jesus,
no, about like having a funny little like a bullshit like sad story where you come out there and you're like, guys, I was tone deaf, and I don't know, I forget what it, I had a bunch of play on words like that, like you know, yeah. Different, you know what I mean, like tone deaf, like can't sing, you know, whatever. And I was,
but I overcame it, man. Oh.
I was colorblind. I don't know. It wasn't that, but it was something. Whatever. There's a reason I dropped a bit.
I was left-handed for so long.
Left-handed.
Left-handed, yeah. No, but that's, I don't know where we're going with
that. Can we go with this book? I got this book for Christmas, and it's called My Top 10
Favorite Positions. Darren, I don't want to read this.
Hey-o. It goes from.
Thank you, Ed. What was that?
Hey-o, one star. Turn this mic off again. It goes from top 10.
He's my top 10.
He goes favorite position. It goes from to. Okay, no, it's called my top 10. And what it is it's random things, and you list your top 10. And I'm like, oh, this would be great for the podcast with the right guest. And can you turn that off? If you don't mind?
Sorry,
dude. I had a guy. I always tell the guests to turn their phones off because I had a guest one time, like literally look at his phone and was like, oh, I gotta get out of here. It's like, I have an opportunity to make money. And I'm like, dude, just relax. Like, that opportunity will always be there. Like,
unless your mic goes out.
Yeah.
At Rick TV.
Exactly. Oh, the mic, your windscreen's about to go off, if you don't mind, if you want to. But so I can't think of, like, I don't want to think of 10 different things on
each
topic.
Let's just open to a random page and it'll be a
yes.
topic.
So this will be a topic. Let's just talk.
Just going to open the window a little bit, get some air.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't.
Uh-oh. Let me turn the key a little bit.
Here we go.
The mobile studio.
There we go. Thanks.
How's that?
Is that good? Are you hearing the cars?
I'm hearing a little air, so I'm going to open up those back ones. Okay, cool.
All right, cool.
Is that still on? Yes. Okay, here we go. Random one. Okay, here we go. Right. Things I crave. Name one thing. We'll just go with one thing. Name one thing you crave.
See, the first thing that came to my mind is dirty.
Keep it clean.
All right.
But and for you people playing at home, you also keep it clean. Of course, everything can lead back to sex. Are we kidding here?
I guess. Okay.
All right.
Thing I crave. Are we talking about food or just?
Okay, let me.
Because I can go success, you know,
yeah,
or
you
a family.
Okay, you crave a family?
I do. I mean, I'm in my mid-40s. I don't have any kids, and I've wanted kids for a while. I guess if I'm going to crave something right now, it would be a family. Like I
mid-40s, you
want
a family.
I wanted to be like, you're a dad. Yeah, Austin's what, 11 now?
Austin's 11. Shout out to Austin Carter.
Austin Carter.
Who does a theme song. On guys, if you listen to this podcast, you probably either heard my interviews with him or you've heard him do the theme song. And then big shout out to Jim Bryan Music, who did a cover of Austin's theme song.
Oh,
it's,
that's awesome.
It's so awesome. Anyways, but yes, so I'm a dad. And we, you know, my wife and I, we were married for 10 years, I want to say. Sometimes I get the facts wrong on this, but before we, I do, and they let me, trust me, they let me know, Dad, you're always wrong about stuff, like, whatever, I say Domino's, it was Pizza Hut, or whatever, you know, I'm serious, I'm like that, but.
Yeah, no, I, so I because, yeah. Like, I, everybody in my family has kids, and that's not the reason why I want them, because I always feel like.
I see those pictures of you and your nieces.
I love my nieces, man. I am so in love with my nieces.
Children, when the time is right, you know, I can't imagine if it's wrong, like you know, you're
like that. Well, except everybody says it's like there's never the right time, but yeah,
but there's times that are more right than others. I will say that, you know. See, like right now, is more right than if you were, you know, like 22 or 20 or you know or 18,
well, yeah, yeah. I mean,
or 30 or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, it's like now. You know, you're a little bit more. You got wisdom to carry on. You've got, you know,
exactly. And I also, like, to me, it's like I see the love that my nieces give me, and then I see what they give to my brother, and I'm like, that kind of beautiful, unconditional blanket love just getting it from them feels so amazing.
Yeah.
And then also the idea of like, and especially as a guy and you have a son, to see the world again through your kid's eyes.
Absolutely.
This must be amazing. And then, like you said, for passing on wisdom and passing on the things that you liked as a kid. And if he likes them too, it's like, oh yeah.
And then when they pass wisdom on to you, like my son is like, it's crazy. Like you create this, you know, child and then they, you know, start showing you things. Like he, you know, the other day he put this project together all through like GarageBand and iMovie. And it's like, dude, how did you do that? Like, he's like, oh, Dad, it's easy. I went to this title card and I found this.
And yeah. That's the thing. And then that's just insane bonding that you have. Like, I remember as a kid doing it with my father. And it's something that I'm like, I'm not ready to say, okay, I never had that in my life. Even though I'm in my early mid 40s now, a guy could still, you know, have kids well into his 50s. I just don't want to be like 75, like, so I'm taking my 5-year-old. You know, I know there's definitely a stop point.
Look at Uncle Joey, you know, Joey Diaz.
I thought you meant from Full House. Look at Dave Coulier. Yeah, Joey's in his 50s. He just had a kid, right?
Yeah, not, well, you didn't just have a kid, but you know what I mean? He's like an older father when he, you know, but he loves his kid. And it's like,
let me tell you, I got this fucking kid right now driving me out of my goddamn mind, this little motherfucker.
That's my Joey Diaz impression.
Yeah. He's great, man. I don't think he's ever said that, though. But that's funny, because he's always talking about taking his kid to the park, and I want to give her street smarts.
I want to give her sweet street smarts. I want her to be, you know, want to be smart. I don't want to be a mooly like me who fucking doesn't know up from down, you know?
Up from down.
I don't know if he's ever said that. That's just, whenever I do my Joey Diaz impression, I somehow go into this, you know, you motherfucking cocksucker.
Yeah, exactly.
Sorry, by the way, to Austin, if he's listening, Uncle Flipper doesn't normally curse like this.
Uncle Flipper. But yeah, so you're having a kid like with.
So yeah, that's. I mean, so craving. That's kind of. I guess right when you said that.
That's the first thing you thought of,
aside,
right?
Yeah.
See, it's so funny. You know, here's where my mind went.
Yeah.
I went food and I went mac and cheese. Like it's not something. It's not something I want all the time. But when something you crave, I'm like, you know what? Like I know it's. I shouldn't be. You know, I do it every now and then. Yeah. But it's like.
It's the naughty stuff.
You get like something, some good gooey cheesy mac and cheese. It's like, wow.
You know what I like with mac and cheese? My friend turned me onto this years ago. Ketchup.
That's good.
I don't know.
I can see that.
Some people like it. Some people don't. To me, mac cheese and ketchup is just, as long as it's not overpowering. You have a right amount of ketchup that melds with the cheese. It's like having a cheeseburger, you know? Go to another one.
Okay, go to another one. Here we go. And you tell me when to stop.
Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Go, 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 go.
Right, hold on, you guys. I'm turning the pages. I'm putting the mic up there.
Go, 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 stop.
Okay. Anything on that list? Sport. Let's go sport.
You're asking the wrong guy.
I'm not really into
Jello wrestling.
Jello wrestling? Guys or girls?
Darren, come on. Guys, dude. Jesus, man, that was
MC'd by Bill Cosby.
And then you put the Jell-O pill in the
bottle. It looks like you
potato chip brands.
With sports, though, you're right, because I'm not that into sports.
I'm not into sports at all.
No, what about the Super Bowl? Do you watch the Super Bowl?
I was on a ship during the Super Bowl, so I watched clips of it, like, when I could. Like, that, I actually have a joke about it, but it's true. Like, I can watch a game and appreciate the game, but I don't know stats, I don't know teams, I don't know players unless they're in the news. Like
you know, this is a sports podcast, right?
Oh, damn! Sorry. Well, in that case, how about that Marino, huh? Yeah. Shula, he is coaching the hell out of the Dolphins. Is that reference?
I don't know. I thought you said Marino, like Del, you know, like the Marina Del Rey.
No, I was saying Dan Marino.
Oh yeah, because that's how out of sports I am too. Yeah.
You know? Oh no, I don't know.
I'm a little bit into boxing now because I've been going to the boxing gym and I'm meeting the fighters. And I'm like, oh, that's cool. Then you watch them, dude. That. To me, boxing and UFC is pretty exciting. You don't have to know that much about them. You know a little bit about them, like the UFC guys, and you're like, oh, wow, you watch some clips, some short, you're like, whoa, that I can get behind. But it's hard to get behind, like, a baseball team. There's so many games, and then you get into a team, and then, like, the players get traded. You're like, what the fuck? Like, it's hard to get into a, for me, for you know.
I'm the same way. But even, see, to me, even UFC and boxing, like, I think about that, and I'm like, Well, what's the complication? One guy hits another, and who's ever is down for 10 seconds loses. But then they go, no, there's, you know, they're judging on how many times they made contact.
Like, it's almost like a chess match. And a weird, like, the deeper you get into it, like, you realize, like, it's not just two idiots going, It's like a chess match. It's like the guy knows, like, okay, every time I, and I'm going to gesture right now slowly, like, every time I throw my hand here, he flip brings it up. I put it, so then you start catching on. So, like, okay, by the fourth round, I know when I bring it up here, he's going to block and it's going to leave himself open. So they start going bam, bam. Then you bring it up, he faints and then hits you low. It's like a chess match. Like, you start learning.
That'd be a chest match.
A chest match.
All right. See, puns. Hey-o. See, that'd be great if, like, during a chess match, somebody actually just decked the other guy. Checkmate. That was good.
You know, like, there's that phrase, like, you know, you're playing checkers, I'm playing chess. Like, no, I'm actually playing UFC now.
Yeah, you know, like, UFC is checkers, boxing is chess. But again, like, sport, it never resonated.
Do you wear sports paraphernalia?
No.
I wear Dodgers caps occasionally. I wear Rams. But my fear was always, like, people are going to be like, what's the score? And I'm like, I don't know. It's blue. It matches my eyes.
You know those jerseys that baseball players wear? Like, they wear, like, the Yankees wear the striped one over, like, their undershirt, whatever. I have two of those. Two sport, like, baseball jerseys that button. One is from the Improv, and the other is a Weird Al one. That is my paraphernalia.
Hilarious. Yeah. Yeah, I'm not. I was kind of into sports when I was a kid. Yeah, no, it's your turn. You do one. Okay.
All right, here we go.
You tell me when
to stop. You did say potato.
Tell me when to stop.
You did say potato chip brands. I will say my favorite potato chips is Pringles.
I like Lay's.
Lay's.
Any way to get laid.
Any way to get laid, even if it's
potato chip. Potato chips. I like salt and vinegar Lay's potato chips.
Those are pretty good, too.
Yeah. Or the original Lay's.
I remember when I was in college, I loved. For some reason, I went to this phase where I loved the Cool Ranch Doritos.
Oh, never liked Cool Ranch.
It was just a phase. I was like, eh.
We all went through phases in college. You did Cool Ranch, I did Blowing Guys. All right, here we go. That was a joke.
Next.
That was a joke. You don't get phased, man. I threw that out, and you were like, okay. Like, you didn't even go, really? Or you just went, eh. That was a joke. I just love how Darren did not even all right, next page. I don't know if you thought it was serious, you got uncomfortable, or you just went, no, I could see that. What's the next page?
That's hilarious.
I was because
you were about to turn the page, and I was about to put my mic down there so I could get the sound effect.
Okay. But you heard what I said,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Okay, I just want to acknowledge that was a joke, and your lack of reaction is either just great comedy.
Like, we all knew it, Flip. Like, jeez. Finally. Like,
no. Everybody would assume that, but I never happened. All right, here we go. You tell me when to stop.
Stop!
All right. Top 10.
Things that creep me out. Let's go with that.
All right. Ooh, that's a tie.
Close the book. Okay.
Because for me, things that creep me out.
I should go first or you should go first?
Oh, you should. I don't know. You go first. You're right. You picked it.
Things that creep me out. I want to say bugs, insects. There's nothing.
Same thing.
It's especially like one day. Okay. I was in the restroom sitting down. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to get graphic here. I was in my own home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you see something out of the corner of your eye, mm-hmm. like you look and it's like, oh, it's nothing.
Did I just see that? Yeah.
It's nothing usually, right? Well, I thought I saw something to the left of me. It's like nothing. And I'm like, and I saw it again. I'm like, what the fudge? Basically, dangling from the ceiling on a cobweb was a spider. Like about 10 inches from my, whatever. It was close enough. It was just dangling like right at my eye level. And I was like, ah! Like I jumped and I grabbed a paper towel. Yeah.
Did it literally scare the shit out of you while you were in the bathroom?
Yeah.
He's like, my work here is done. You're welcome.
Yeah. You're welcome, sir. He's a shitter spider. Yeah. It's like a,
I'm the same. Bugs, creepy crawlies. To me, it's two. Spiders and cockroaches.
Damn. Cockroaches are gross.
I grew up in Florida, man. Yeah. Not only do they have cockroaches, they have... I'm showing Darren with my, like, size-wise. They're about that big, like a good 5-6 inches, wow. And they fly.
Oh,
they're called
God.
Palmetto bugs. So imagine a cockroach that big just...
Ooh. Now, doesn't that, like, make you less scared because you know it's a palmetto bug, not a cockroach?
No, it freaks me
because it looks like
it's the same thing. It's just a flying roach. It's a flying roach.
And also, you know what? Like lobsters.
Like the one behind you.
I actually turned my head. And I lock my door.
Nice.
But do you, like lobsters to me look gross because it looks like a cockroach to me.
Yeah, but lobsters, see, here's the thing, the difference. Number one, a lobster's not going to crawl across your floor.
That's true.
Number two, a lobster is delicious.
No, if I can see it not in lobster form, it's okay. But when there's little tentacles and shit, like,
yeah, but
if you go to like an Asian market where it's like, they have like,
well, you know what
lobster.
It is? Lobsters are so big, it's like, I could take a lobster.
Yeah.
Roaches are small. They can get behind things. Like, it's fucking behind the fridge and I can't get to it.
Oh, yeah.
And now I'm freaking out. A lobster, I mean, if a lobster ever crawled across my floor, I know I could catch it or I could kill it.
Yeah.
Without, you know.
Oh,
just,
I see. The
roaches are fast and small. Same with spiders. They're just,
yeah.
Creepy, man. Like, my mom told me this story and it forever it haunts me. When my mother
get
was
ready, folks.
Mother was a teenager and I'm pretty sure she was living in Florida. You know, back in the day, women, when they have like the beehive hairdos, they would, you know, like at night, they would
beehive hairdo, kind of like what Aunt Bee had on a right, a little bit like that, like the, it's
yeah, just
you stack it up. It looks
it's,
like
it stacks up. Yeah,
like, you know, when you're at the Bloomin' Onion from Outback Steakhouse, like where the onion rings get, they start big and then they get smaller on top, kind of like Marge Simpson.
Yeah, yeah.
That's kind of a beehive hairstyle.
Kind of, yeah. Just a very high-standing hairstyle. And women would put a lot of hairspray in it to keep it up like that.
The higher the hair, the closer to God.
Exactly. And my mom and, I guess, women at the time would go to sleep with their hair all done, so, you know, they don't have to do it every day. So my mom said one day she woke up, having her hair all in a beehive and hairspray and everything, she woke up, and she moved her head, and a roach came out of her hair.
Oh.
Apparently the hairspray attracted the roach.
Oh.
And I think it was caught in her hair because it got and so she woke up with a freaking roach in her hair.
Oh my
god. Creepiest thing I've
ever
heard.
Yeah, that would be so creepy.
I mean, just
And your dad still married her.
Well, this was before that, but yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
She held on to that story until after the second child.
Yes. Yes. That was the if you were bad that day in school, she would tell you that before you go to sleep and just give you nightmares. Sleep tight. Hope roaches don't go in your ear and lay eggs. Love you. I don't know why mom's Southern all of a sudden. She's a Jewish woman.
Closer to the higher, the closer to
the higher the hair, the closer to
Moses.
To Moses.
I don't know.
Closer to Woody Allen. The higher the hair.
Yeah. Creep me out. No, there was another. Okay, this is. Okay, I got another one for you.
All right.
Didn't really creep me out, but in a weird. Because, okay, what made me think of that is I had a friend, we were drinking coffee, and it was hilarious to me because he was talking to this girl. And back when we were in our 20s, he's talking to this girl, we're drinking coffee. And then he feels something in his mouth, and apparently a fly had gotten into his coffee. And like he had a fly in his mouth, and that instantly was a turnoff for the girl, and she excused herself and left. And he was like, "Poor guy, he was one of these guys like the world, like he never had luck with girls." You know, he's like, "Woe is me." And then of course he never let that story go. It was a conspiracy; everyone's out to get him.
This conspiracy. You know? The flies are having a meeting. All right, we cannot let this guy get laid. You understand, Murray? You're gonna have to sacrifice. I'll do it. It was a fly Cosby. Oh, that was a stretch. Never mind.
Oh, like a Bill Cosby?
Well,
like
a kamikaze, but as a fly, a kamikaze fly.
Oh, I thought maybe like a Spanish fly also, like a
could
a
be
Spanish fly. It's a little Spanish. Oh, see, I'm gonna get in there and help him get laid.
All right, Julio, you gotta get in there. You're a Spanish fly. Yeah, fly conspiracy.
No, because it's a Spanish fly. Like,
what if that was the other? What if you were on a date with a girl and that happened to her? Would that turn you off?
No.
Yeah,
because guys are like so like.
Well, it's just like
she's
like, "Ooh, a fly," and she ate it. She was like, "Oh my god, bleh." Like she was freaked out by it too. I would say, "Hey, why don't you go brush your teeth and rinse your mouth out with something before we make out?"
Yeah, 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 yeah.
But no, that wouldn't creep me out.
Yeah, put your mouth on this fly.
Hey, hello, everybody.
Yeah. Okay, so that reminded me in my mind of another story. Now this was a little bit more. Now I was, you know, just like you, I was raised religious, different religion, but I remember when I was living in San Diego back in the day as a bachelor, and the sun's coming in on you. I got
this. No, it's okay.
What about this towel?
That helped it.
Okay, this can block the sun too if you want.
Thanks.
Okay, so get this. I was about 23 years old, and I remember like cooking up a can of beans, and as I'm eating the beans, got back from the gym, I feel something in my mouth, like a felt like a chicken bone or something. And I reach in and I pulled out. Now this for me, this means this was a trip because I was raised, you know, Baptist. I pull out a crucifix.
What?
Yes, almost like it was a horror movie or like a movie or something.
Wait!
I'm eating some beans.
Eating beans.
I open up a can of beans. I'm eating the beans and chicken and salad, whatever. And I felt like this crunchy, like what the hell is that? And I reach into my mouth, and I pull out a crucifix. Like a little tiny gold crucifix that looks, maybe it fell off someone's necklace or something.
When they were packing the beans.
That's probably what happened.
Oh my.
But I still have that crucifix somewhere. I put it, at the time, yeah, it was a trip to have that happen.
That, dude, that's like, yeah, that's exorcist shit.
I know, exactly. That, yeah. I was like.
I'm surprised you didn't just become a nun right there. Like, you literally pulled out of all the cans of beans in the world.
I know.
You get the one with it. Either you should have been a nun, or you get it. It's like Willy Wonka. You get a chance to visit the crucifix, the bean factory. Yeah, like you found the golden crucifix.
Orderly.
Yeah. And there's little Oompa Loompas
ticket
everywhere.
Ticket right to heaven or something. I wonder if I still have that crucifix. I remember, I was 23. The fanciest thing I had was a Kraft macaroni and cheese tin. Like, you know, like you could picture like those Christmas cookies, like a little tin, mm-hmm. except it was Kraft macaroni and cheese, and it was a tin. And I was like, that's where I would keep my driver's license, my birth certificate, my social security, like anything that was important to me. And I was like, that's where I shall put the crucifix, in this Kraft macaroni and cheese. But I was 23, you know.
Yeah.
There's a reason you grow up and, you know.
No, of course.
But yeah.
But that shit, I mean, man, that's a bit.
Is it? Oh, maybe it could be a bit.
That's, I mean, because it, what a insane story, but then, you know, that so you can, again, the way that I just did it with the Willy Wonka thing, that's a place to take it. Or just like, is God trying to tell me don't eat beans anymore? Or is it, you know, was Jesus Hispanic? He was a beaner, and is that what it's telling me? Or I'm just saying, like,
yeah, ways I can, like,
I also thought fascinating story.
I know, and also part of me was like, I wonder how much this is worth. Like, I was gonna like maybe take it to a
so maybe you're Jewish.
Maybe that was a sign.
Maybe there's a sign that you're Jewish. Your first thought is, what can I get for this?
I know. Exactly. I'm like, hey, none of the spiritual. Remember,
no, just.
Just like, ooh, free money in my mouth. It's a beautiful thing.
You were like the world's most religious clown. Just keep pulling crucifixes out of your mouth.
Ave Maria.
Now we're going to see how many nuns we can fit in a car. I don't know.
But that was an interesting story because it happened and it wasn't. I guess I wasn't really. I wouldn't say the word creeped out, but it was a good. It was a good way to get creeped out, I guess. If there's such a thing, like.
Yeah,
you know.
I mean that. But just what an interesting. I can't.
I should look into that thing. I wonder what it was. Probably like 14 karat gold. I don't know. Like.
I don't know.
I don't even know how much.
But
that
just
would be.
What a story. Like, I've had beans where, you know, I found an onion in it or something, but a crucifix.
I've had French fries and, oh, an onion rings in it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's funny, too. It's like, you know that feeling when you get the fries and there's an onion ring? Like, oh, what a bonus. Like,
imagine eating, like, some chili beans and there's, like,
and there's a crucifix.
All right, here we go. Ready?
All right.
Tell me when
you stop.
All right. Role models.
Role models.
Ooh. Role models.
My father.
Father.
My dad. Him. My dad is a really good man. He's taught me about fairness and treating people right, but also standing up for myself. And both my parents, he has always been a supporter of my comedy since I was a kid. And I got my sense of humor from him and my mother, but a lot from him. Matter of fact, my dad's name is Stu. And I'm so much like my father in all the good ways and bad ways that my family starts calling me Stoonier.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah. Because, again, he's a silly man, and I definitely got most of my humor, that side of my humor, from him.
I would hear your father on the podcast, your podcast.
Yeah.
I love those episodes, you know?
Yeah. But like I said, it was more about... Because, again, my mother's great. My mother's taught me a lot of things. But, you know, as a father's son, there's that father's son. It's just natural. You know, you bond with the same person of the same gender, for lack of, you know, just to be blanket there.
And your dad was, I love that he, the choice in names of your brother.
Darren.
He has a brother named Darren, you guys.
Oh, that's, yeah. Yeah,
yeah, I'm a Darren. He's
my
a
brother's
Darren.
A Darren. Yeah. So I, yeah, my father, I, yeah, he's my, my number one role model. How about you?
This is a weird way to say it, but I'm trying to be a role model for my son. You know, like, it's weird. I used to look up at a role model, like, I want to be like Fonzie and I want to be like Elvis, or I would look at these, you know, imaginary people, or, but I still, you know, have role model like that. But I guess, like, now that I'm the dad, like, I'm, you start looking at things like, I want to be the role model, you know?
But who was your role model?
I don't think I have a role model. Like, not now, I don't. I think it's like...
Like, there was nobody even as, as a comic or somebody like you... You see their life, you're like, ooh, I want to be like them. I
think it's like a combination of different people. I can't think of one person, you know?
Well,
like,
give me one of the different people.
All right. I'll go with a good friend I've had since I was 15, and maybe he's listening to this podcast, and maybe he's not. His name is Carl. Carl is a guy that's like, he's great, man. Like, you know, we've been friends since, like I said, we were 15. He's the kind of guy that listens to a lot of podcasts, like... Reads a lot of books, gathers information, writes notes, keeps notes. He's very organized mm-hmm. when it comes to that. And, you know, he's a great guy. He's like just a really like well-rounded person. And I'm like, gosh, I like that he does that. You know what I mean? Like that's something that's,
right.
he takes time for his friends. You know, when I'm in town, he'll make sure we hang out. Like he's like, you know, especially when you come to LA, like you realize how easily people find the bigger, better deal, or they flake on you, or they don't keep their word. It's like, it's nice to have people in your life where you're like, that's what I want to do. I want to be like that person.
Yeah.
You know? Do you find that too, where people will not keep their commitments in
LA?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's I'm sadly weird that it's kind of the nature of the beast in LA that, I mean, most people come out to L.A.
I got a story with that, too. Cross my fingers.
Some people come out to L.A. to be, you know, to be a success, to be a star, whether it's acting, directing, you know, editing, dancing, painting, singing, whatever. And
podcasting in a car.
Podcasting in a car. And so, you know, people are, like you said, they're looking for the BBD, the bigger, better deal. And they're like,
I thought you were saying that BBD stood for something else. Bigger, better?
Yeah, well... That's a given.
That's the bigger, better.
Bigger, better, Richard.
Yeah, you get it.
You know, it's funny. My Allison, I would always call her BBD for baby doll. It was my just nickname for her. And then I would start calling her Biebers. And then then she became my baby, baby, baby.
Oh, Justin now, Bieber.
Yeah, baby, well, that last part baby, was it.
Oh,
oh. But anyway, long story boring. Yes, I found that a lot of people are like that. But then you find the genuine people out here who, unless, you know, God forbid there's an emergency or whatever, they, you know, they don't flake. They're genuine. And it's rare to find out here, but refreshing when you do.
Yeah, speaking of flakes, I'm going to tell you the story. My buddy...
Frosted
Flakes. Speaking of flakes, Frosted.
They're great.
They're great.
Mm. So my buddy is on the... He's on those dating apps, Tinder, Bumble, blah, 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 whatever. Mm-hmm. He's out there trying to, you know, he's in his 40s trying to, actually, he just turned 40. And he's telling me, like, he's like, dude, it's hard because, like, they're so flaky. You know, it's like he's a print model, so he's attractive. So he attracts, you know, women are attracted to him. And he told me, he's like, yeah, I'm supposed to meet this girl at this coffee shop for like a, you know, and then she's like, let's just say it's 7 o'clock. He's there like at, you know, 7 o'clock. Now it's 7:25. He's texting her. Hey, are you on your way? Oh, I'm on my way. I'm going to be late, but I'm on my way. And now he's like, you know what? He's like, okay, cool. So he's like, let me just walk around. And he walked down by the Laugh Factory. He's a comedian. He walked by the Laugh Factory. So he saw some other comedians. Like, oh, you getting a spot tonight? You doing a spot? And he's like, oh, no, I'm, you know, I have a meeting. He didn't want to say he's on a date. He wanted to be like, oh, I'm blowing off comedy for this date.
Right.
So now basically an hour goes by. He goes back to the coffee shop and he's like, hey, where are you? You still coming? And here's where it gets weird. She's like, oh, sorry, an emergency came up. I'm in an Uber. I'm headed towards Santa Clarita, you know, Magic Mountain up there. My friend's giving birth. We have to go to the hospital. And he's just like, delete. He knows it's bullshit.
Yeah.
You know? It's like, what's he going to do? Like, You know, like, he goes, what am I going to go to the what hospital? And he's going to go there. You know what I mean? He's just like, it sucks, man. They come up with a really big lie. So then he's like, dude, this has happened so many times.
You know,
So it's weird. Like, his looks sort of attract, you know what I mean, the women. But he's attracting these kind of women that are into that kind of look. So it's like, not that he has to lower his standards. I'm just saying he should, you know.
Well, looks aren't everything. Like that.
But imagine if you were like a print model, like that attractive. So then all these women that are attracted to that type of thing have this imaginary, they probably picture, oh, this good looking guy probably rides around on a shirt. Or, I'm sorry, rides around on a horse with no shirt on. He probably has a yacht. He probably has a house. But then when they get to know you as a person, they're like, oh, this isn't the fantasy that I had. You know what I mean? That kind of crap. So.
Yeah. And I'm sure they're not the fantasy that he thought either. You know? One of the things I've learned about living in LA and back when I was dating is that attraction is the in, it's the door, but you can walk in the door and then go, oh, well, the inside is does not match the outside. Like, the outside is a very nice facade, but you go inside and it's just, holy crap, this is a mess. You really got to straighten up in here. So, and then sometimes you can see a facade that's not as, you know, attractive, but then you still choose to go inside. Yeah. You're like, oh, well, it's very nice in here. It's comfortable. I like it in here. Yeah. The outside, it's not as nice as the other neighborhood, but I'm not going to be looking at the outside. I'm going to be inside the whole time, most of the time. So who cares what the outside looks like? That's what I've kind of learned, man. And I think that's just maturity and experience when you realize that. And I don't know. I think that your friend, whoever that might be, just has to get beyond the outside.
Yeah.
You know, because obviously that person who did that to him, and I'm generalizing, you know, it's a blanket assumption based on your story, but she's got some shit to work out inside. Because a nice thing would be like, look, I'm not coming, or don't even make the date, or show up just out of courtesy.
And also, I think that nowadays, like, these people have, like, these, with these apps, like, back in the day, you know, back when I was dating, back in the 90s, before I got married, it was, you know, you'd, like, wow, I ran into this girl, and, like, we really connected.
Yeah.
It was rare, at least for me. But, you know, but maybe now it's, like, people are, like, online, like, it's almost like a video game. They're, like, swiping, connecting. So now it's, like, oh, I have more options, you know?
I can't imagine the dating app world, man. I really can't. It's if I'm ever single again, I'm gonna be old school and meet people at places.
They say what you're supposed to do is like, well, one of the ways is like do something that you're interested in, and then people that are also interested in that, then that's how you could, you know what I mean? At least you have some kind of connection.
Yeah, there's an automatic in. You know, like if I'm ever doing a show and there's a girl that likes comedy, I'm like, oh, hey, here's her.
Or like bass. Like, you know how you like bass?
Like bass, yeah.
Boom, boom, boom. So then
I wouldn't want to. Two bass players don't make good music. Okay, you go bump and I'll go bump, bump. And there's.
No, but you could like hang out at the Guitar Center. You know, I mean, I don't know. I'm just trying to think of like.
If I like to meet chicks at the guitar. Hey.
Check out my bass. Boom, 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 boom.
Boom, boom, boom. You like boom, night court? Boom, boom. Boom, 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 boom.
Who remembers Barney Miller? Because I never heard of it, but my friend Darren Carter told me about it.
You like Inspector Gadget? I know that one too.
How's that going?
Do 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 do.
Oh yeah.
Do 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 do.
They put that in a beatbox rap thing, I think.
Go, Gadget, go.
We do like 80s and 90s TV theme songs and cartoons. Who wants me now? Come on,
ladies. Huh?
The Guitar Center.
Who likes chipmunks?
Bass and puns.
God, if I'm ever single again and I find a girl who likes bass, puns, Weird Al, Pink Floyd.
Dude, that could be another thing. Weird Al Yankovic message boards or like fan clubs or Instagram, concerts.
Well, again, just finding things that you have in common with people.
You know, not to be mean, but have you been to of course you have been to Weird Al Yankovic concert.
Yes.
Have you looked at some of the fans?
Yes.
And we are some of the fans.
Yes.
But you've looked at the other fans.
Yeah.
What did you think? Anybody there you were attracted to?
To be honest, I wasn't even looking.
You just have eyes for Weird Al.
It's not like I'm looking around, hey, look at her at the Weird Al show. I mean, I've seen girls on Weird Al shows. Either A, they're with a boyfriend who also likes Weird Al.
Yeah.
Or B, God bless him. They're just... Yeah. I'm not looking at him going, man, look at that. Look at that mid-40s overweight chick. There we go.
You know,
and
people,
I'm generalizing there.
You know,
but,
people.
But here's the thing, too. Yeah. We're all having fun together. Yes, so I'm not even looking for attractiveness. I'm just like, we're bonding over this.
I do remember we were at the Hollywood Bowl, and I was like, wow, you know how people picture, like, you know how people picture, like, a computer troll who's like, you know, you're a computer troll. What do they call it? Like a troll in the
troll.
Online?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you probably live in your mom's basement now. You know, that it's like those people came to life and put on Weird Al Yankovic shirts and were like, that's what I saw a lot of that. You know, like, and people who, yeah, I don't want to offend my listeners, but you know what I mean? They look like, imagine, they basically,
I mean, honestly,
they look like me and Flip, but like female.
Like, yeah. Minus the facial hair.
Yeah. No, extra facial hair. No.
Oh, well.
Hey-o.
Hello.
But yeah, so I don't know.
No, but I mean, look, again,
I got to be honest, I got rid of my Weird Al t-shirt after that, because I saw a guy with the same shirt that I had on, but I was like, this guy's like an uglier version of me. Fuck, and that's saying a lot.
Yeah, I've got many Weird Al shirts. I don't wear them all. There's a couple that I like because I just think it's a fun design.
So cool.
Yeah, there's one I wear that says Weird Al Yankovic for President, and it's this big picture of like old school Weird Al with the glasses and the mustache. And I think people see that, they see me wearing it, they automatically go, all right, he's a fan.
Yeah, I love
it. But he's also a good looking guy.
Yes, so there's you're a good looking guy.
You know, I know I am. There's a buddy of mine, he's actually, do you know that show Henry Danger on Nickelodeon?
I've heard of it.
My friend is the lead on that. He's a superhero. He's Captain Man.
Whoa.
And he is a really good looking guy. Like, very handsome.
Like,
you know,
girls don't cancel their Tinder dates when they go out with him.
Well, he's married with a kid.
Oh.
But if he was single, no. But
I'm on my way to a hospital. My friend is pregnant.
None of that. No, he's a very good looking guy and an avid Weird Al fan. So we've gone to a
couple.
There's a couple of us.
Like Brad Pitt, George Clooney. You know,
I would love it if George Clooney was a Weird Al fan. Oh my God.
I don't even know who. I'm losing my references of who's attractive these days. I don't even know anymore.
I don't know. But
remember, there was like the go-to lines like, oh, look, Dolly Parton's
Christopher
in the house.
Pratt? Is he the good?
Yeah, probably Chris Pratt or.
Or Robert Jen. I don't know. I'm trying to think of all the Marvel guys.
How about women? Like, who are the sexy women now? I don't even know.
I don't know. Ariana Grande, is she?
Oh, yeah. See, not really, not to me.
I don't even know who she looks like. I don't even know what she looks like.
I've seen her and I was like.
I don't know.
Forget the book. Who did you have I'll name people I had crushes on when I was a kid. Like on TV, I'd be like, oh, I really like Deborah Harry from Blondie when she sang that Heart of Glass song.
Yeah.
Or Call Me. Like, I just liked the way she looked. I was like, wow.
Michelle Pfeiffer in Grease 2.
Oh, wow. So you're older than, I mean, you're younger than me. So I liked.
We're about the same age.
I don't remember Grease 2, though. I remember Grease 1. I remember Grease 2. I've seen it, but I didn't have a...
Michelle Pfeiffer, Grease 2 was a big crush of mine.
I did like Dolly Parton as a kid, and it wasn't her boobs. It was just like, I just thought her singing voice and her cute ways and her voice, like, I just...
Early Madonna, like, Lucky
Star. Oh, yeah,
Star,
oh, yeah, yeah.
Like a Virgin Madonna. Holiday, yeah.
Like a Virgin, yeah.
Whitney Houston.
Oh, man, her singing was incredible.
I wanna dance with some... She was so cute and pretty.
I know, and I know. I thought she was this.
You don't hear much from her anymore, do you?
Oh,
too soon.
Too soon.
Sorry,
Houston. We have a problem.
Oh,
you can use it on the ship.
No, don't.
It's a downer.
It's a downer.
It's a downer.
I was trying to. I was being ironically morbid.
It's dealing with pain through humor.
Crush on back in the day. I mean, teenage years, it was Kathy Ireland and Cameron Diaz when The Mask came out. Oh God, Cameron Diaz. I used to have a poster in my room.
People have met her. I've heard of comedians talking about like going to places. Like, she must be in the comedy circles somehow, or like, or maybe like near the Comedy Store or something. Maybe she would shop at some kind of stores over there and stuff. I don't know.
Trying to think who I had a crush on as a kid though. Like because I watch sitcoms all the time, and there were really no hot girls on sitcoms. There were pretty girls.
Yeah, Gilligan's Island. There was like, you know, I liked Marianne more than Ginger.
Oh yeah, well, it's that little farm girl. Justine Bateman on Family Ties.
Oh, yeah, she was cute.
She was cute. Alyssa Milano, who's the boss. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, when I was a kid, yeah.
Oh, man. Drew Barrymore when she got older. Like, what was that movie she did when she was... Here's, oh, I forget. I'm flaking.
Here's two last questions. Okay. Okay. Two last questions, and then we'll. And I always ask our guests, like, we'll end on this one. If words of wisdoms, like thing we'd like to carry on, like our listeners, people are going through a tough time, something that you've learned in life. You know, that I always end on that, but sure, we won't do that yet. I want to do real quick. Thanksgiving foods. What's your favorite Thanksgiving food?
Mashed potatoes.
Dude, I love mashed potatoes.
Yeah.
I love good. Olives. I like when I was a kid, I used to put the olives on each one of my fingers, you know, like the five fingers.
Oh, the black olives.
Yes.
Yeah, my favorites.
So good.
Yeah. I always, oh man, black olives. Never like the, I mean, I like pimento, but prefer black.
My wife's been, the stuffing that she makes is like delicious. Ooh. So good. And with a lot of vegetables. So that way it's healthy. It's very,
very good.
Very good. Yeah, it's like a Thanksgiving. Oh my God.
But, yeah, great, but good mashed potatoes.
Good mashed potatoes. And then like sometimes I'll eat it with gravy or without. It's like, it doesn't matter. Either way, I like it.
Yeah, yeah.
And the last question I have is, I think we looked it up earlier. Like I go, hey, when at the bagel shop, I go, hey, here's an idea. Like, mm-hmm. I think we chose love song. And so, is there a certain love song? I'll start with mine.
Okay.
My favorite love song right now is new to me. It's by Queen. It's on the Bohemian Rhapsody soundtrack, mm-hmm. and it's called Love of My Life.
Oh, yeah. Love of my life, yeah. You heard me.
Yeah, so good.
Well, I'm a Queen fan. So
oh, you are?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, dude.
I have all their albums, man.
So good. You got to get the new album, or at least stream it on Spotify. Have
what,
you heard?
The Bohemian Rhapsody?
The Bohemian Rhapsody soundtrack.
But it's all old Queen songs.
No, it's new stuff. It's new versions, and it's new, like live mixed with... It's great, because we thought we had... Because my sister-in-law... used to be a publicist, so we would get same thing. We have a lot of these Queen albums, but it's better versions of different. We'll say different, but like it's amazing, and it's like they blend and there's also the Live Aid performances are on it.
Well,
it's
I have the Live Aid on video.
It's
amazing how they recreated that in the movie. Cause,
so good.
I mean, they skipped a couple songs because they already touched them earlier in the movie, you know, We Will Rock You and We're the Champions. They didn't show that in the Live Aid segment because they already showed it in the movie, but. The recreation of that was like the moment where have you seen the actual live? So when Freddie Mercury is like got the camera guy and he's kind of dancing with, they did that in the movie. I loved it, man. It was so good.
Rami Malek, so good, right? I love his portrayal.
Yeah, and I was first because I remember when I first saw the pictures of him as Freddie Mercury. This is back when they were still shooting, and I'm like, he's too skinny. Because Freddie Mercury, especially at Live Aid, if you watch, he wasn't buff,
but
his arms were kind of big, and when he was wearing that armband, like that studded armband around his upper bicep, again, he wasn't jacked, but he had muscle on him. And Rami Malek, I'm like, oh, he's too skinny, he doesn't. But then I saw the movie, and man, he nailed the performance, I'm like, I'll let that slide.
Freddie Mercury voice like this.
Oh, come on. Oh, come on, darling. You can't trust, your gut. You've got to go with it. Yes, he's very...
Statistically speaking, most bands break up before never making it, or whatever he says. He's so good.
You sound like Thurston Howell.
I know, that sucked. That was terrible.
Hi, I'm Freddie Mercury. We will rock you. Oh, Buddy, you're a young man, hard man.
At the country club we were talking about earlier.
All right, my love song.
Real quick, I do the love song, I realize how hard it is to sing a song. Like, if you're not... You're good at karaoke. I'm not... Austin's been playing music at home, and then my wife and I will sing. And my wife was doing Another One Bites the Dust, and I was sitting there on the couch judging her, going, oh, this could be better. And then I tried to do it, and I'm like, oh my God, this is hard. It sounded so lame when I sang, because it's like the first lyrics are like the first lyrics are, hey, let's go. So when I did it, I sounded like a little robot. I'm like, hey, let's go. And then I was like, oh my God, I suck. Like, I'm thinking like, I was like, it was great. It was a great realization. It's like those people who sit back and critique others like online or like, you know, but then if they
try it.
I tried it. I was like, oh my God, this is, I'm having a light bulb moment. I'm sitting here my wife was good, but I was thinking like, oh, I wish you did this better. But when I did it, I was like, I suck. I'm like, I was so lame. I was like, hey, let's go. And then they didn't really start laughing there, but they started laughing. But I wasn't trying to be funny, dude. It pissed me off because I was trying to really, it pissed me off how horrible I was because I was like, Steve walks warily down the street with his brim pulled down low. And I was like, God, I suck. I just stopped right there. They started laughing.
Machine gun ready to go. Hey, are you ready? Are you ready for this? Are you hanging on the edge of your seat? But see, here's the thing about karaoke.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter if you suck, if you're having fun with it. That's the best part of karaoke. I'm not a great singer. I could sell the crap.
You know what I noticed, though? But listening to that, because I had a new respect for the way he sang it. Like, he sort of like sings certain parts low. Like he's not enunciating in like all loud, Steve walks warily down the street with the, he's more like, I don't even know if I'll be
able to. Steve yeah. walks warily down the street with a brim pulled way down low.
Yeah, yeah, hey. Yeah.
Don't think no sound asleep. Machine gun ready to go.
Dun, 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 dun,
are you
dun,
ready? Dun, 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 dun. Yeah. Are you hanging on the edge of your seat? Out of the doorway, the bullets rip to the silent beat, yeah.
Boom, boom, boom.
Another boom, one boom, bites boom, the boom. Dust. See, I'm a great singer, but I'm having fun singing.
That's good. That's what yeah, it is. Yeah, yeah. Apparently, Austin said that that's a harder song to play and sing at the same time because that your hand is going bum, 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 but then your voice has to do a totally different melody.
Yeah, totally different. That's why Allison, like I tried to do with bass, you know, again, I know, like Pink Floyd Money is easy because you're kind of singing boom, 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 money, boom, 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 get back, boom, boom.
So you're singing in between.
You're kind of almost singing in between, and the bass that you're doing is not that complicated. But then, I know the bass line to Beatles' "Oh Darling," "Oh Darling," please believe, and the bass line to that is like boom, 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 boom. Boom 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 boom. And there's all these intricate little things while there's either singing, like you said, to a different melody or empty space. And it's like I have a very newfound respect for people that can play instruments and sing at the same time, because there's so much going on between the body, the mind, the mouth, the everything. It's pretty incredible. But it's almost like what we do as comics, because I'm sure you've been there before where you're in the middle of your set, you're in the middle of a bit, you're also aware of the time, and you're also thinking, what's the next line in the bit? What's the next bit after this bit? How much more time do I have? Can I fit this? And this is all happening.
Yeah.
Like, I equate it to blinking. Like, I'm in the moment, I'm telling the joke, and then my brain blinks for a second. I'm like, okay, I got 8 minutes, and then back into the bit. Yeah. Next bit, next line.
As you're talking, you're like, okay, they're really digging this story about my wife. Do I have any other more stories like that?
Yeah.
And then, like you're talking like, oh, they really responded to my Latino impression. I got this whole other bit about Roost. Hey, what's up, Rooster?
Exactly. And it's all happening. And it's all happening simultaneously in just I can't even, it's just like, not even a second, less than a second, an eighth of a second, just boom, 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 all this stuff happening in your head. But again, we're only aware of what we're saying and maybe how we're doing an act out. We're not also like, I got to keep melody. I've got to remember these lyrics and I got to keep it in time and in rhythm and don't screw this up. And there's a lot going on with musicians. It's incredible, man. It really is.
Yeah. The love of my life is probably my love. Like right now, I love that song. And real quick before, cause since we both like Freddie Mercury, and there's a guy that, his voice was used in the movie, Bohemian Rhapsody. His name is Mark Martel, M-A-R-C. This guy is incredible. Guys, go to YouTube, look up Mark Martel. Look up the versions where he's like, Bohemian Rhapsody, one take. That, and he did like another song, one take. Love of My Life, one take. And then today, he just posted today, Killer Queen, one take. I mean, this guy, he's really good, man. I mean, most of the comments that you're reading are like, dude, why isn't this guy in Queen? I like him way better than Adam Lambert. I mean, this guy is good. He does.
Yeah, but Adam Lambert's the name. And Adam Lambert just fine.
I don't know,
but
man.
Adam Lambert also was American Idol, and he was a
Mark
favorite.
Martel is like really, his manager's, he posted this week or last week, he goes, my manager just informed me that his videos right now, his YouTube videos, I think it's reached like 150 million views. He's dude, this guy's he's out there. Trust me, he's in a band, and like
I'm sure he'll be fine.
And Queen has tapped him to use him for certain the Bohemian, the Queen experience. I don't know what it is. I follow him on Instagram now, and it's like he's in Mexico doing these big. This guy's so good, and I like him. I mean, you get to know him a little bit through him talking on social, like to the camera, and you're like, I like him as a person, not just a singer,
Got it.
That's what's great about nowadays, like the podcasting and this stuff. Okay, love song.
Love song. Between Two. I love them both. Either George Harrison's Something,
Something
in the Way She Moves
attracts
me like no other lover. Boom, boom. Something in the way she moves me. I don't want to leave her now. You know I believe in how Like, love that song. Yeah. And the other one is, you
Fuck Me Like an Animal.
Yeah. No. Do you know
that song by
Nine Inch Nails?
I wanna fuck you like an animal.
It's a beautiful song. It's my wedding song. No, it's, do you know Jeff Buckley?
I know the name.
He was a brilliant musician. He died, I think, in the late 90s, early 2000s.
I haven't heard from him lately.
He and Whitney Houston are doing a tour. He has a song called Lover, You Should Have Come Over. And it's beautiful. Whoa. The lyrics are beautiful. The melody is just sublime. And his when he sings it, it's just the emotion, the raw emotion in it is just so...
Check that out.
Yeah, Lover, You Should Have Come Over. It's a great, great song. But yeah, those I think would be my two favorite love songs.
Bruce Springsteen, I discovered he has a song. I think it's called I Drive All Night. And I like the live versions where it's like 12-minute version, and it's like you hear the saxophone that kicks in, and it just like it's like,
oh well, live performances are studio is great because you capture that
drive
one moment.
All
but
night just to be see you again. I can't sing. It's so good, and then it's like, oh my gosh. Okay, well, Pocket Party Podcast. Want to thank you for being on. If you guys love this episode, please go to darrencarter.com/donate. Throw a few bucks. Let's keep this show going. Flip, I like to end each episode. Where can people find you?
You could. My website is flipisfunny.com, and all my social media links are there. Please follow me on Instagram. I got the Facebook thing going.
Is your podcast still available for people to hear?
You could still hear my... I had a podcast for a couple of years, and I'll be honest, I got lazy, I got busy. I have not updated it in a very long time.
But
you can still hear the old episodes. I'm going to probably start one up again. It might not be the same one. I might just kind of start
title,
fresh.
New title, just boom. Just get it going, put it out
new
every
life,
week.
Exactly.
I love it.
But yeah, please follow me on all that, and all my CDs are available, iTunes, Amazon. All that fun stuff.
I want to ask you this. Words of wisdom, things you've learned in life, something you'd like to share to our younger listeners or just people
here,
who are listening.
You know what? This is as mundane words of wisdom as can be, but what I have learned in my 40 plus years on this earth is that sometimes life sucks. Sometimes everything is going wrong. Sometimes you are just at your lowest, either financially, emotionally, romantically, whatever. Things always get better. Things will always be fine. But you can't just sit and wait. I've learned this myself. You have to go out and be proactive. When things are down, allow it to happen. It's part of the human experience. Depression, sadness, it's all part of being alive. Don't wallow in it. Let it pass through you. And then after a little bit, go, okay, I can't stay here. Let me go do something proactively to work my way out of it. And you start doing that, and then you'll find that sometimes life just gives you a little push out of nowhere. You know, you might just get a check out of nowhere. You might get a girl calls you haven't heard from in a while going, hey, I've been thinking about it. That happens. So words of wisdom is don't get stuck in the shit. It happens to everybody. Things get bad sometimes. They'll always get better. You just got to be proactive at it.
Thank you. Thank you for being on the Pocket Party Podcast.
Thanks for having me, D.
Love you, buddy.
Love you too, man.
Well, look at you. You made it all the way through. Thanks again for checking out the Pocket Party Podcast. Please tell a friend, tell many friends about this show, and let's keep this going, man. This is 48 episodes. All for free. If you want to help out, go to darrencarter.com/donate. Use the Amazon link on my website. Go to iTunes and give a review. Please give it a review. Give it 5 stars. And just tweet the link. I'm on Twitter. My pinned tweet is the very top one. Just retweet that. Spread the red. Spread the love. I used to say red because I had red hair. Spread the red. But pretty much bald now, so I think too much of it got spread, but what are you going to do? Anyways, you guys are awesome. Thanks again, and as my boxing coach says when the pro fighters leave, don't hurt nobody. Okay, don't hurt nobody. Be careful. So be careful, and don't hurt nobody, including yourself. Lots of love. See you next week.
We're done with this interview.
Everybody listen to Darren Carter. We all know he's the party starter. So if you want to listen to a podcast for free, then listen to The Pocket Party.